Please be seated. And if you'd like to turn back for a few moments to the first part of the Hebrews passage, right at the beginning. I looked in a dictionary, and faith was described as belief without proof. The writer of Hebrews defines faith as Hebrews 11:1, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I would define Christian faith as belief supported by the evidence of Jesus' death and resurrection. But before we start thinking about faith under pressure, we need to know what faith is. James 1:17 reminds us that every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So that faith is a gift. Now that causes real problems in some people's minds, because we can be upset because we think, I've got the gift of faith. Why not my husband? Why not my wife? Why not my friend? The gift of faith is available for everybody. And I think most of us would agree that in this country, in most of the world now, people know about Jesus. But only a few, and there is little doubt about that, only a few open their hearts to God's grace, enabling them to have faith. The picture I have is of Jesus coming up to us, slipping his arm through our arm, and saying, friend, I would really like you to follow me. And he does that, you know, to people who don't become Christians sometimes. Because he uses other people who have faith to be the one who shows them Jesus. And we know from the Gospels that people make excuses. I've got a wife to marry. I've got land to buy. And so there is at one point, so far as faith is concerned, when, as it were, we say to Jesus, yes, I will be your friend. And from that point onwards, we have faith with the power of God to help that faith. Because at that point, we receive the Holy Spirit to help us. In the sense that Jesus walks with us as we have faith day by day. And that makes all the difference. And that, in a sense, is explained in experience, because if we look at somebody who's just come to faith, we notice an immediate difference, almost the hour after they have said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. They're different. And in a sense, they're in a new world, because we see in verse 3 of Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God. When we are born again into faith, we live in a new, different world. Of course, we keep our feet on the ground in this world, but we live in a new world. And we continue on by God's grace in his power. And Jesus is with us as we have faith. But we all know that moments in our life occur when there are problems. And in a sense, this is what this sermon is going to be about. What we do when we come under pressure. But let's begin turning over the page of the Hebrews passage to verse 32. And in a sense, I'm going to take some episodes to just show you and help us with the question of faith. Let's begin with the story of Gideon. For his story demonstrates what it means to be a member of the church. At that time, people were either for the Lord or for Baal. Now, there's not much difference today, really. Today, men and women are either for the Lord or they are for the world, the vanity of the world, everything often that is not of God. As Gideon's story relates, his army was to come up against the Midianites, and they were reduced by the Lord to 300 men. How interesting comparison that is to the church today, when we are small. All the statistics say we are small, and Jesus had 12 disciples. Like the modern church, only a small remnant was fit, that's in Gideon's time, to go into battle, reminding us of Paul's words in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I find it exciting being a part of a church which is a minority. That makes it exciting and special. Because 300 men, again in Gideon's time, were committed and fit and full of faith given them by God, victory was theirs. Remember this story when our faith comes under pressure. We will persevere and win the victory, despite our small numbers as a body of Christ and individually, if we are well trained like the modern SAS. Now, I'm coming back to that in a minute. As Christians, therefore, we take to heart Paul's words, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, here we come to it, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman, I put in, of God may be completely equipped for every good work. I tell you that the man or woman who is immersed in the Bible, when he or she is tempted, when he or she comes under attack, a verse will be put in your mind by the Holy Spirit to help you and say it's possible despite the darkness, despite the difficulty. When our faith comes under pressure, remember that we are members of the SAS. And I've changed the title of that to Savior and Saved, because we always have Jesus with us when we go into battle. And 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, because it is a battle, it is a fight, but we're not our own. Again, we are with Jesus, our captain, leading us into battle. In the past weeks, we have been reminded by the writer of Hebrews of the temptation to drift away from the gospel message, and it's always possible for any of us. In Hebrews 11, the writer is exhorting us to keep the faith and demonstrate how so many Old Testament saints had persevered, that is, not drifted away. Verse 20, going back a bit, by faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Of the two sons, Jacob seemed, when you first look at the Bible, an unlikely candidate for a man of faith. Genesis 25, 29 to 34. I put it briefly, he conned Esau out of his birthright. Genesis 27, 18 to 29. He cheated Esau out of the blessing the elder son was entitled to from his father. Frankly, you would not buy a second-hand car from Jacob. Certainly not at that point in his career. But despite his character defects, he was open to God at Bethel. Genesis 28:16. Surely the Lord is in this place. And later, Genesis 32:25, he wrestled with God. And his love for Rachel, his perseverance in his love for Rachel, showed he knew how to love. And faith grows as we learn how to love God, and as we love God. Our Christian faith stands up under crisis if, despite character defects, and if you're like me, we all know we have defects, like Jacob. But we stand up under crisis if we are open to Romans 5:5, God's love poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And every day our prayer should be, Lord, I'm not much good. Help me. Pour your Spirit into me. Jacob's faith encourages us, especially if any of his character weaknesses are similar to ours. Remember for the future, when our faith comes under pressure, to continue to open our hearts to God's grace. And if we open, if we are a person without guile and admit to our faults, confess as we've just done earlier to what we've done wrong, I can assure you that Jesus will be with us and we shall be blessed. In a sense, faith is love in action, love of God and love of all the others that we meet. By faith, Abraham persevered, even when God seemed to ask him the impossible. Have you ever felt like that, that God was asking you the impossible? Verse 17, to offer up his son, the only means of continuing his line, the only means as he could see it for God's promise to him to be fulfilled. By faith, Joseph persevered, even when sold into slavery, accused wrongly of attempted adultery. Moses, who like Jacob made a bad start in life, with in his case murder, persevered until eventually he led his people out of Egypt. And isn't it wonderful looking at these people like Jacob, like Moses, like all these different people who had character defects, how like us they are, and how therefore if we do feel that we're no good, that God's power will be made perfect in our weakness. The fact that you fall into sin, make errors of judgment, do things that are not right in God's eye, although we repent and turn to him again, he will bless us in the future if we keep close to him. And when we come under pressure, and there seems to be no escape at all, we've got a temptation that we really feel we shall not be able to avoid. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Whatever the momentary temptation, there is always an escape route provided by God. And I think, coming back to the service this morning at which some of you may have been, I think of the escape of the Israelites across the Red Sea. And I also think of the escape from Dunkirk of our beleaguered army in 1940. The escape routes that God leaves open for groups, for people. Whether Egyptians, Germans, or our work companions, or whoever or whatever who put our faith under pressure, remember to persevere, using in time of temptation the escape route supplied by our Lord. And realize that we Christians are already a saved people and live in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is God's power in us to help us persevere, to help us endure whatever the pressures, whatever difficulties there may be. I don't know about you, we have a barometer in our house and I'm a weather fanatic and I keep knocking it, tapping it to see if it's going to be fine, it's going to be changeable, or it's going to be cloudy. Don't do that with your faith. Don't keep thinking, how am I going? Is my faith good today? Am I on form? Just follow the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is with you through the good days and the bad days. Rely upon the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, as I said earlier, digest them. Make them part of your thinking, part of your mind. Have the mind of Christ. And don't forget other church members. Sometimes when we have a problem, we sort of cower away in a corner. We don't come out. We don't want other people to know that we've got this problem. We don't want to know them sometimes when we've got an illness. Tell other people. Cardinal Hume was a good example of that in the last few days. He has terminal cancer. He came straight out with it. It's good because other members of the body of Christ will help us if we have difficulties. And a solitary Christian is a contradiction in terms. You take a coal out of the fire and it cools off. We are together as a body, as a church family, and we live together, and in a sense we die together. We all need the support of other Christians, but especially so when our faith is under pressure. All these Old Testament people of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 were members of the people of God. If we are to persevere, then we do so together. Acts 2:42, devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. So especially when God seems distant, especially when there are problems, especially when you feel, I don't really believe, keep coming to church. Keep coming to prayer meetings. Keep coming to house groups. Go to foundation courses, discovery courses. And if you have a time of prayer every day, which I really would want us all to have, keep having the prayer time, even if it's difficult. And find, as I have found, that the church family is my family. And what happens to another member happens to me. As a member of the church family, we are helped because when we are having a bad day, we can say to ourselves, what an ideal opportunity to have faith, as it were, in the cold and go out and see somebody who needs your help. Go out and see somebody who is lonely, who would benefit from 30 minutes of your time. I'll guarantee you that if you do that, the Lord Jesus goes with you, and when you come back, you will feel different about your faith that day. John Stott puts it really well. True faith issues in love, and true love issues in service. It's all together. And the man or woman who sits at home and says, I'm having real trouble, makes a mistake. We need to get out and go forward in the knowledge that Jesus is with us. In another sense, being a Christian is like being married. As we keep going through the difficult times, never give up on our love for our partner. I tell you that our love increases and increases. Exactly the same thing happens in the relationship between Christ and the church, that's us. The more you follow Jesus, especially through the difficult times, the more you say, I will endure in your power, Lord, you get through. And if you're in a wilderness, you come out. As we persevere under pressure, our love for Christ increases and increases. Verse 39, towards the end of the passage, the promised land is not reached until after death. But like Moses, who never entered the promised land in his lifetime, we can know now the joy of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Exodus 34:29, how having met with God on Mount Sinai, Moses' skin shone. I tell you, I see people in our parish whose faces are alight with the Spirit of God. We can be like that. Although we are unlikely to experience the dire suffering of verses 32 to 38, nevertheless, we need to be ready, as soldiers before a battle, to persevere when our faith does come under pressure. And it will do. I'll be straight with you. If you've been recently converted and you've had a wonderful time, there will be an occasion when you will come under pressure. Remember this passage when that happens, and keep going. For a bit of personal testimony, which I don't often give from the pulpit, when I was a young boy, this is the one thing that I didn't realize. And for a time, I fell away. That was wrong. we need to keep going and realize from God's word that he will be with us, that he will keep our faith alive. And now, to conclude the sermon, a few challenges. In the battle of faith, there might be a dark moment for young people when it comes to relationships. Now, I remember when, sometime before I met with Caroline, that I met a girl called Jenny. Now, I liked her, but I knew that she wasn't a Christian. And the one thing I knew was that I wanted to marry a committed Christian and my family to be brought up as a Christian family. I had that in my bones. And so that relationship came to an end. Now, you can, as a young person, as I know, fall in love with somebody who is not a Christian. The challenge then, unless they're on the way to becoming a Christian, is to break it off. Like Abraham, prepared to give up his son, prepared to give up that person we love, because that's not what God wants. It's really tough. And now Joseph, and another challenge. Now, I know what happens in the world. I know what relationships people can have. I know that men sleep with women and they shouldn't do. I know that adultery happens. And so when we come to middle age, we may be tempted, like Joseph was, to commit adultery. We may actually have fallen in love with a woman or a man outside our marriage. And that will be a dark moment, because there will be a balance, particularly if our marriage relationship is not going well, as to what we should do. At that point, remember, keep going. Remember to push the temptation aside, as that great saint of old, Joseph, did. And look what happened to Joseph after he resisted the temptation to commit adultery. He was used by God mightily. And so the dark moments of our lives, when it seems impossible to do the right thing, if we do it, God will use us in an incredible way. And then Moses, who battled on despite the anger of the Egyptian king and was used to lead people to faith. He led people to faith in the sense that they went to the promised land. Now, sometimes when we're wanting to lead somebody to faith, there is opposition within the family. And therefore we have to, as it were, persevere in praying for that person, in helping that person to faith, and lead them on, rather as Moses led the people on and over the Red Sea, despite the opposition from the Egyptian king, that is the world. We will so often be in a situation where the world says one thing and our Christian faith says something else. And we are on the Lord's side, and therefore we resist that temptation to give in, especially when it means leading somebody to know the Lord Jesus Christ, which for that person will be the most important thing in life. And that's what we're here for. Through the scriptures, worship, prayer, will we be those who resist the temptation to lose faith, open our lives daily to the love of God, and therefore, because of our love in response, be able to say, at the time of crisis, these words from the prophet Habakkuk: I love them, I keep them in front of me. Though the fig tree does not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the field, and therefore no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Fantastic. A man or woman with this attitude keeps faith under pressure. You can throw everything at him or her. He or she will persevere even when the worst happens. And once again, we know that when we think of Cardinal Heenan, who, when he is shown to have terminal cancer, he is so peaceful, such a witness to what we should be when our faith comes under pressure.